The Rescue Worker, a lifelong transformational journey of Jesus apprentices, learning to love, serve, and be like the Master. Experiencing Jesus in the Gospel of Luke with Dr. Douglas Pereira.
Welcome to the Rescue Worker, and welcome to the sixth week of experiencing Jesus in the Gospel of Luke. We are on this transformational journey through the pages and the account of Jesus' life according to Luke. And I'm so glad that you were able to join us today for the study of Jesus' baptism. That's right, today you'll be studying Luke chapter 3, verses 21 and 22. Let me confirm. Yes, that's right. 21 and 22 about Jesus' baptism. Well, as you know, we are a community of Jesus' apprentices. We are here trying to learn about Jesus' life and live that life as our way of life. That's our goal. And as Jesus' apprentices, we have a model. And our model for our life is, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind. And you must love your neighbor as yourself. That is the model for Jesus' apprentices. We are trying to live his life. We are on our sixth week of experiencing Jesus in the Gospel of Luke. And for every week, we choose a Bible verse to be a memory verse for the week. So if you have been with us since the first week, and if you have been trying to learn and memorize the Bible verses, so we are going to memorize our sixth Bible verse. And the memory verse for today is related to Jesus' baptism. And the Holy Spirit in bodily form descended on him like a dove, and a voice from heaven said, "You are my dearly loved son, and you bring me great joy." Luke 3:22. So that is the memory verse for this week. It's a longer verse from the other weeks, but it's a beautiful and powerful. And you may say, "Pastor, but I cannot memorize. It's too difficult. I cannot remember the other ones." Well, I do believe as we repeat those verses every day and as you try to memorize, those verses are on your mind. And the right time, and the right moment, the Holy Spirit will be able to bring those verses to your mind. So that is important to rely and trust. Another aspect I think is related to an account that I read once about a rabbi and his disciple. So this disciple was not able to memorize the Bible, and he was upset because he couldn't remember what he just read or memorized, and he was willing to give up. So no, I will not continue. So the rabbi say, "Okay, so you're struggling with that. You cannot memorize and you cannot remember, and you just don't see the point and you want to give up. Don't give up. Before you give up, let me ask you to do something." And he had a bucket there that was old, was dirty, and had some holes on this bucket. And he said, "I want to ask you to go to the river and bring water and put on this container." Right? So he had to use that old and dirty and many holes, bucket with many holes to bring water from the river and put the container. And the disciple, "Rabbi, I don't know how, like, what's the point? I don't know, like, what is the connection between I'm not able to memorize and wanted to give up? I don't understand what you're asking me here. It doesn't make sense," they say. And then the rabbi said, "Hey, just do it, okay? Just do it." So he started, right? He went, grabbed the water, and he is coming, right? And with the hose, the water is is falling, and he gets there. There's not much water in the bucket. He puts in the container. He does that for almost an hour. He's tired. And he comes to the master and say, you see, I'm doing all this work. I was not able to fill up the container, and I'm giving up. This process, what you asked me, is the same of trying to memorize and learn. I cannot. Then the rabbi said, okay, let me ask you. How dirty is the bucket right now? Remember when you started, the bucket was so dirty. How is the bucket now? And the rabbi said, and the disciple said, it's very clean. It's very clean because the water was washing away. So even though the water didn't stay in the bucket, the water was able to wash the bucket. Interesting. And what happened with the way or the path that you brought the water? And he said, oh, there's water all over the place. Well, do you know what happened in a few weeks because of the water in this path? Something would germinate from there. Life would come out. You see, he said, the rabbi, even though you cannot memorize, hold the water inside of the bucket, that water will cleanse you. And this process will bring life. So maybe you're struggling. Why to memorize? Doesn't make sense. I cannot memorize. Don't give up, because the Bible will cleanse you and will bring life later on. So try to memorize. And this week is Luke 3:22. Now we are turning to our moment to prepare ourselves to the God's word, so the God's word can cleanse us and bring life into our soul. And we believe that every time we come to God in prayer, in Bible study, we are coming before the throne of grace. An invitation is made for every one of us. So let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we'll receive his mercy and we'll find grace to help us when we need it most. So as we come to Bible study, prayer, we come before God, and God has a blessing for you, has grace, he has mercy. And I do believe that as we come and study Jesus' baptism, we'll be able to see the blessings for you and for me. For that, let's try to prepare ourselves. Let's try to have open ears to the Holy Spirit and the impressions that he will put upon us. Every time we are together for this journey of experiencing Jesus in Luke, we have 1 minute for you to reflect, to pray, to prepare yourself for this encounter. So use this moment right now, this 1 minute, to prepare yourself to be washed by God's word and to bring life to your soul. So take this 1 minute right now. Pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this opportunity to come before you, before the throne of grace. And I pray, Lord, that we will hear your voice and be transformed by you. Forgive our sins and wash us, Lord. Open our eyes and ears to see and hear your hand and your work. Bless everyone that is listening to my voice. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So, take your Bible, your electronic device, tablet, computer, cell phone, and find Luke chapter 3. And today we'll be reading verse 21 and 22, and I'll be reading from the New Living Translation. If you remember, on our fifth week, we focus on the first verses of Luke chapter 3. And those verses highlighted the ministry of John the Baptist. We see his message, his purpose, how people reacted, how he understood about the kingdom of heaven. And we see how Herod reacted to his message, put him in prison. And that is how verse 20 finishes. Somehow Luke is putting a closing in the story of John. He wanna say, you know what, that is enough, because now John has accomplished his purpose and to introduce Jesus, and now we'll focus on Jesus. For some reason, Luke was afraid maybe that people that were reading his Bible or his account of Jesus would focus too much in John, right? He has a role, but he said, no, or focus on Jesus. Maybe they would worship John, I don't know. He's talking about people that's coming from paganism that were used to worship gods and all that. So Luke is writing for these people that is coming to know Jesus, coming from a different perspective and view. He decides to close this story of John, okay? And he doesn't want to go back. And that's interesting because we can see that even in the open statements of verse 21. He doesn't want to go back to John. So verse 21, one day when the crowds were being baptized, Jesus himself was baptized. You see, he doesn't say where was baptized. He doesn't say who baptized. He doesn't want us to go back there, right? To John, or focus in John. He's shifting. He's changing cameras for us to focus in a different account, a different perspective. Jesus' perspective, the story of Jesus. So he doesn't want us to go back of John, right? To his ministry. And now look, presents Jesus and Jesus being baptized. Well, there's a question, why Jesus was baptized, right? And as we study deeply the message of John and his ministry, repentance, and going through this process through baptism. And baptism, if you recall, was not a process for Jewish people to go through. Yes, they had their cleaning baths, but baptism was a process of people that were not Jewish, so understood in the Bible as Gentile, going and accept into the Jewish faith. So they had to go through baptism. It was a way to enter this covenant. It was this relationship, or this group of people. It was not for Jewish people, but John's message is for Jewish. So it's a message of being real sons and daughters of God, being part of this group of special people that believe on the Anointed One. And why Jesus was baptized, right? There's this question. He doesn't have any sin, right? He's the most holy person. He's God. Why he will baptize? And for sure, there's a few reasons here. An example, for sure, to give an example for us to be baptized. Tomorrow, I'll give at least one or two reasons why he was baptized. As we are reading here, as it appears, right, important information that will appear on verse 23 and can give some ideas and context, maybe can shed some light here. But the focus here, Jesus was baptize for our example, to make that connection that yes, he's the anointed one, right? He's the Messiah, connecting him with John and his ministry. And somehow is a large scale of sonship, right? Remember, the baptism was the process of Gentile come into Judaism, right? Into Judaism. So Jesus is coming as the Son of God and being declared a Son of God. But even in the account of Luke, the focus, the emphasis is not in Jesus' baptism. It's just very simple. Luke closed this idea of the baptism and he opens another door. Pay attention here on verse 21, the second part. As he was praying, the heavens opened. So John talks about the baptism, but then he talks about another thing happening. Jesus was praying. So he closed that door and he says, focus. Jesus is praying. Jesus is in connection with the Father. And that is another main lesson of the Gospel of Luke. You see Jesus praying and many times. Luke decided to present this important information throughout his book. Jesus had a prayer life. And if Jesus, being God, the Son of God, the Holy One, without sin, the Savior, the Messiah, he had a life of prayer, imagine you and I. Imagine you and I. John is focused so much in prayer here, or rather saying Luke is focusing so much in prayer here, that if we didn't have the other gospels that says what happened after with the Holy Spirit coming, that people would say, hey, the opening and the manifestation of God in verse 22 even didn't happen when Jesus was in the water. He was by himself. He left already. He was baptized. Now he's out there after his baptism praying. I do believe, right, that Jesus was in the water. And he, after going inside of the water, he comes out. He starts praying. This connection with the Father. Father, the time has come. I don't know what he said. I wish we had the words of Jesus' prayers here. We have a few prayers that are described to us, but this one is not. But what we know, there is a connection. And if Jesus had that connection, that prayer life, imagine us, how much we need that. So as Jesus was praying, there's what? Heavens are open. Heavens are opened. So what that means, it's a revelation. There is a connection, a connection is established between earth and heaven. And this opening of heaven, it has even a apocalyptic meaning, right? And it's the opening, the revelation of God, theophany, God revealing himself. That is powerful. So this connection is established between heaven and earth, and this connection will never close down because of Jesus Christ. And this connection will still until heaven and earth will be one. And that is beautiful image. The connection of heavens being open and heaven coming down to earth. Not earth going to heaven, but heaven coming down to earth. And what happens as Jesus was praying? The focus is in prayer. When Jesus was connecting, God reveals himself. And we see here two important events or things that happen. Verse 22, and the Holy Spirit in bodily form descended on him like a dove. The Gospel of John, or the Gospel of Luke, is the Gospel of the Holy Spirit. Here's the Holy Spirit again, coming upon Jesus Christ as a dove. Here what we see is the anointment of Jesus. It is interesting that in Isaiah 42, verse 1, I'll repeat, Isaiah 42, verse 1, and I want to encourage you to read this Bible verse, Isaiah 42, 1, is the connection of with this account, where we see that the Messiah would be anointed by the Holy Spirit with power from heaven. So one of the prophets related to the Messiah, right? That means the anointed one, is that he would be anointed with God's power. And what we see here, Jesus, before to start his open to his public ministry, he is anointed with that power. He's confirmed by that power, the Holy Spirit. So what we have here, we have Jesus and now the Holy Spirit that comes not as a snake, the image that we saw previously here, right? With John's message, but he comes with a dove, purity, simple and beautiful. So this, the heavens open and power comes down. One of the things that every time that the heavens open is power coming down, power over your life, power over your family, power over your community. As we seek God, we need to seek for power, the power from the Holy Spirit. And now, another thing happens. And a voice from heaven said, "You are my dearly loved son, and you bring me great joy." There's so much here in these verses. Okay. So now we see a third person. We have Jesus, we have the Holy Spirit, and now we have the Father. "You are my beloved, my dearly loved son." What we see here is God, the divinity, right? Later on, this community of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit is understood as Trinity. This word doesn't appear in the Bible, but the concept appears, the image appears. The three persons of Godhead, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Three persons, one God. And they are united. And the three purple, they unite God, heaven and earth. And their goal is to become one. And what is the message of the Father to the Son? "You are loved, and you bring me great joy." I'm proud of you. I love you, and I'm proud of you. Let me ask you, and what we're reading here is just before Jesus opens his public ministry that starts on chapter 4 of Luke. How many sermons had Jesus preached according to the Gospel of Luke up to this point? So God could say, "Hey, I'm proud of you, Jesus, because you have shared my message." None. How many miracles Jesus had done according to the Gospel of Luke before his baptism? None. How much Jesus had accomplished to this point, the Father say, "Hey, I'm proud of you"? Nothing. According to the Gospel of Luke, and we are reading together, nothing. You see, we live in this world that the system is about accomplishments, right? So we can be proud of ourselves, or our parents are proud of ourselves, the society is proud of ourselves, the community is proud of ourselves when we accomplish something. Oh, yes, you finish your course. Here's your diploma, your degree. We are proud of yourself. Oh, you got a job. We are proud of yourself. Oh, you have learned a new skill. We are proud of ourselves. Oh, you have a new car, a new home. We are proud of ourselves. Oh, you got married. We are proud of ourselves. Oh, and you can go with the illustrations. But being proud, being happy is related to accomplishments. And then people try to make God proud of themselves, trying to accomplish things for God. Oh, here, I'm giving Bible studies. Here, I'm doing this. Are you proud of my, like, are you happy now? Look, I'm keeping the Sabbath. Look, I'm returning tithe. Look, can you be proud of myself? My family is attending church service. Are you proud of myself, God? You see, we try to please and appease and make God proud of ourselves. But we don't need to do that, because God is proud of herself only because we exist. God was proud of Jesus just because he was his son. Nothing else. It's not related to doing. It's being. It's to be alive. For being alive, God is proud. God being proud of you is not related to what you have done or not done. He's just proud of you because you exist. You are alive. And just when he thinks about you, a great smile comes into his face, because he's proud of you because you are alive. You may say, Pastor, but I have sinned. Yes, but you exist, and God is proud of you. Not proud of what you have done, but he's proud of you, your life, and for you to be, to exist. That is God. That's the graceful God that we know. Let me ask you, and I have made this question before. Let's go back to Genesis 1. What Adam and Eve had done for God give them the Garden of Eden? What Adam and Eve had done for them to receive this blessing, to be made in God's image and likeness? What Adam and Eve had done for them to receive the Sabbath day, to rest on Sabbath day? You see, nothing. Nothing, nothing. But they receive not because they did something, they receive because God is graceful. That's the nature of God. And God's happiness, God's love towards you, God's being proud of you is not related to what you have done, but because of your existence, your being, not your doing. And God was proud of Jesus for his being, not his doing. And we need to experience God's love based on our being, not on our doing. That is profound, and that changes the relationship between God and humankind. But one thing I need to mention, right? I have mentioned Isaiah 42, and I had request you to pay attention, 42 verse 1. But I want to encourage you to go to Psalm 2. Psalm 2. Psalm 2, it was the psalm or the song to be used during the coronation, when a king would be coronated. Right, will become a king, when someone would become a king. And this phrase, we can see the roots of this phrase, your beloved son, and and you bring me great joy from this Psalm 2, where at that moment the priest, upon the new king, he says, now you become God's son, a love son, and he is with you and proud of you. So this phrase was used, or some of the elements of this phrase were used, and appears on Psalm 2, the Psalm of Coronation. So God is saying to Jesus, you are my son. That's your identity. That's your purpose. You are king because I'm king. It's a process of sonship. And my dear, when God looks at you, he's proud of you because you were created according to his image. And because he's king, you are part of the royal family. You have dignity in you because of your father. It does not matter, according to Psalm 2, who is your father, those that gave you and brought you to earth. Because at the end, God is the one, your true father. And the king now, the new king, he will suppose you understood that his father was God, and that he should hear God's voice and rule according to God's way. We know the kings didn't follow that, but the idea was, no matter who were your fathers, your true father is God, and you are his son, his daughter, and now you will rule according to his way because he's your father. And what Jesus experienced here, yes, is the confirmation. Yes, is an anointment. Yes, you remember your identity and your person, your purpose. You are a son of God. You are royalty. You have dignity and you have a purpose here on earth. In the same way, when you look at the mirror, you should be proud of what you're seeing, because God is proud of you. You are a son, a daughter of God. You are not an accident. You are not a result of abuse or violence. You are marvelously crafted by God, and he loves you. And because you are created according to his image, you are part of the royal family. You have dignity. I know most of the time that's not the way we feel or see ourselves. And the reason for that is because the devil, the enemy of God, he tries to steal our identity. Interesting, because the next event, the next account here that happens is Jesus going to the desert, and he have a encounter with Satan, and the enemy tries to steal his identity on the first temptation. If you are the son of God. Well, he just had heard that he was the son of God. He had that confirmation. He had that empowerment. But now Satan is trying to steal Jesus' identity. And I tell you, the devil is trying to steal humankind's identity, your true identity, my identity, and most of the time we fell on his schemes. But I want to tell you, by God's word, we have the assurance that we are sons and daughters of God, that our true identity is in God, that we are created according to God's image and likeness, that we are part of a royal family, that we have dignity, not because we have accomplished something, because of the Father that we have. And this Father loves us and is proud of us. That is the relationship between God and humankind. That is the connection. That is the heavens open, the revelation, the apocalyptic revelation. I know people, when think about apocalyptic and revelation. He thinks about the end and signs and disasters. But the real revelation here is the revelation that you're loved, that you have the Holy Spirit with you, that you're son and daughter of God, that you're part of the royal family, and you have dignity. That's the true revelation, and that's the message that we need to focus on. And I do believe every time someone accepts the baptism, he's accepting this sonship, daughtership. He's accepting being part of this loving relationship, accepting their identity. So don't hold back. I do believe that through the ears of faith, at the baptism, we can hear the same phrase that Jesus heard. You are my dearly loved son. You are my dearly loved daughter. And you bring me great joy. That is what the baptism is all about. So if you have not experienced that, please accept it. And accept your sonship, your daughtership. Accept your affiliation. Accept that you're loved. Accept your identity of royalty. Accept that you were created according to God's image and likeness, and that He is proud of you. Don't let the enemy steal your true identity and purpose. Leave that identity and purpose. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thanks so much for your blessings. Thank you for this message and this assurance that we have, that we are your sons and daughters, that we are part of the royal family, that we have dignity, and that you are proud of us, that we are loved by you, and that we have the Holy Spirit. Thank Lord for this connection. Thank you for this revelation, the skies being open. Forgive our sins, Lord. And I pray that the teeth of this world will not steal our identity, our true identity in Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, let's go for our questions of reflection. And here's the first question. What is happening in this passage? What stuck out to me? What can I learn about God and His kingdom? And what ways has Jesus loved and served? How should I love and serve according to Jesus' example? What specific steps can I take to apply these lessons in my life? How can I share these lessons with others today? That is so powerful to think about those questions based on the account that we study today, verses 21 and 22. And I pray that we'll reflect, think about it. I pray that you'll be blessed today, and I hope to see you tomorrow as we continue this journey through the Gospel of Luke, trying to have an experience with Jesus. May God bless you, and don't forget, you are loved, and God is so proud of you.
Experiencing Jesus in the Gospel of Luke.